sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. No upsets yet in the NCAA basketball tournament. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Milwaukee Bucks, Ted Davis. Griffin at the end can't convert.
Crawford looking into Paul, works right. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, down to Blake Griffin. Griffin spins in, shot is no good at the buzzer, and the Bucks win it.
Ted Davis with the call on TMJ in Milwaukee. As the Bucks survive and beat the Clippers. Pro Day today here at Penn State. The Scouts descended upon State College today. And Audrey Snyder was there. I was there for a while today as well. Audrey, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Glad to be back, Steve. How you doing?
Doing well. We talked briefly when you were over there today. What were your thoughts just watching this?
You know, Pro Day, for me, it's always one of the more fun things to watch because, I mean, you have so much going on at once, and you're trying to figure out, you know, who's looking at who, what scouts are there, and, of course, you're doing it, you know, you're watching from a distance. So for me, watching Chris Godwin today, the interesting thing was, leading up to it, I asked Chris last week when I talked to him, you know, who's going to be your quarterback? And he said he was undecided about it. Well, we got to the bottom of that afterward, and what happened was he had hoped to have Trace McSorley, and then, of course, with scouts being there, with current coaches being there, that wasn't able to happen, so he couldn't have McSorley. So then he had been working with Gunnar Keel the last couple weeks because they share an agency, so they've been working out together. Right. So Gunnar shows up today ready to throw, and then learns this morning that he can't, because of the fact that he obviously didn't go to school at Penn State, isn't from Pennsylvania. I guess his agent had told me that some scouts had some issues with that. So Chris Godwin's pro day quarterback was actually a guy who was plucked out of the stands, who was affiliated with the Patriots,
it's
but
Patriot
he had a pretty
scout.
Good arm.
Yeah, Patriots.
So
scout.
I mean, to me, that was interesting.
Yeah, and typical, he did everything that we watched Chris Godwin do. You know, catches the ball away from his body, tough catches, ball behind him makes a catch, over the head makes a catch, in front of him makes a catch. I mean, that was a typical Chris Godwin day.
Absolutely, and he will meet with the Steelers and the Eagles within the next couple weeks and certainly many others as he continues to climb up the draft board.
For Garrett Sickles, his 40 time today was better. I mean, in fact, it was significantly better than it was in Indianapolis. What did that do for his psyche?
Today was huge for Sickles, and talking with him afterward, he said that he was really thrilled with all of his numbers, but particularly the broad jump and his vertical. He said the vertical and the broad numbers that he posted at the combine were like the worst that he has ever posted, you know, in the last few years. So he was really disappointed about how the combine went, but moving past that, was really excited after today. And, you know, I mean, that's the thing. He said at the combine he felt he was too heavy. So he came in today a little bit lighter and tested much better. So today was huge for him. And, you know, he's a guy who hasn't second-guessed his decision to leave early, and he said that he made that after the Rose Bowl and just sticking with it. And he actually got a ride to Pro Day earlier this week from Christian Hackenberg, who was there taking it all in today. Of course, they're good friends, former roommates, and they're going to go out and train in California for a week after this. And then I believe Garrett said he'll be back in town training some more in the lead-up for the draft.
You know, what I found interesting today was seeing Christian Hackenberg there, seeing Anthony Zettel there, but also seeing Geno Lewis there today. It's interesting how these guys still come back when many people make certain assumptions about guys and don't realize they have a real attachment to the plays.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, talking to somebody like Malik Golden, I mean, Anthony Smith was back here, and he said, you know, he's very close. Malik is very, very close with Geno Lewis, and he said, you know, these are our guys, you know, these are the, especially when you look at people like Sickles and Hackenberg, who of course came in together in that tumultuous time. I mean, they're friends, and Brandon Belt of the linebackers that he played with last year, they still have their group messages, and he still keeps in contact with those guys that way, and he was FaceTiming with some of the other guys while they were training in Florida. I mean, it's a brotherhood, and you hear that word get tossed around so many times, but yeah, absolutely, when you see the former Letterman showing up for an event like today, it's really cool that they come back and support many of their former teammates.
All right, now let's the next part. They weren't the only ones out there today. Evan Schwann, Brandon Bell, you know, Naeem Wortman-White, Irvin Pay, Brian Gaia, Wendy Loren. There's a long list of guys. Did you get any sense anybody helped themselves out there today?
you know, Brandon Bell needed to come in today and help himself, and it seems like he did that. I mean, obviously, when you don't get that combine invite, and of course, him getting hurt in the Rose Bowl with that elbow injury, I mean, all of that stuff was working against him. So Brandon, you know, was pleased with what he did today. But again, I mean, it's a matter of how do these guys project to the next level, and I think that's where it gets a little dicey for Bell. I mean, but again, we've heard this so many times, Steve, and we've seen it with a guy like Mike Hull, where all it takes is if you get one chance, you know, to get out there, who knows what happens. So I think Bell and Golden are the two guys who could help themselves in the lead up here, just because, I mean, they have the ability to move around a little bit. So I think that definitely helps their stock. But, you know, you look at it moving forward, and all it takes is one team to see something they like. And Golden, to me, I mean, he has that size. And you look at safeties, and, you know, a lot of people want physical safeties. Well, it'd be interesting to see what would happen if he gets a shot. So, I mean, again, we'll have to see how it all plays out. But I think, you know, Bell definitely helped himself out today. And it was good to see Wortman White back out there despite, you know, he wasn't able to do everything, still has limitations after his second series knee injury. But just the fact that he was back out on the field was a good sign for me.
Yeah, no, there's no question that it was. And I thought, I mean, Bell had his opportunity. So did Evan Schwann today. Golden, I'll tell you, Golden, you could see the in him, Audrey, his high school track experience come into play, because, you know, there's a certain way of, quote, knowing how to run the 40. You could tell he knew how to run it, especially with the start.
Absolutely, and he said that he was, you know, wasn't surprised with his 40 today. I mean, it was pretty much what he ran, and a lot of these guys, too. I mean, they're out there, they're working with Dwight Gault. Of course, Dwight was there today helping them out. So there's that familiarity level, you know. They've been trained well. They know what they're doing. So I think just getting back, you know, Sickles, that was one of the things. It's, hey, he's lighter and he's back in the familiar confines and felt good with the workout.
In fact, that's something I was talking about, knowing how to run the 40. What's interesting about the combine is that you train for the combine, and it's not really football training. Did the players talk about that with you at all?
You know, I had talked to Chris Godwin about it last week. I called him one-on-one for a story, and I said, you know, so much of, you hear so many times from players, you say, you know, it's just nice when they get past pro day and past the combine, because then they can go back to football-specific drills. And Chris said, you know, of course, especially for the receivers, a lot of these skills will translate, and knowing how to run well, proper form, and all those kinds of things certainly help a receiver out. But it is nice when you can go back to just doing a little bit of everything and not just focusing on, you know, the three cone drill, the broad jump, the vertical, the shuttle. And I believe it was Malik Golden who made the comment today. He said, you know, he's just happy with his numbers, but added that, you know, I still think I'm faster with pads on anyway. And I think that's so true, you know, because again, it's the combine especially is kind of known as the underwear Olympics. So you look at it and you say, hey, it doesn't, sometimes it really doesn't matter what the testing numbers are, but when the pads come on, you know, it can be a different start.
Well, see, that's what I've always contended. I've always contended that, you know, the 40s and the 20s and the 10s should all be run with pads. You play the game in pads. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody goes out there and plays the game in shorts. I've always found the 40 times to be a little bit, you know, and the jumping and things like that. Do it in pads.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if a guy's going to go out and try and high point a ball, I mean, he's not going to be doing it, you know, in spandex shorts. You know, he's going to have pads on, trying to be on the move. And do all those kinds of things. So I agree, Steve. It's a bizarre thing. But again, I mean, it continues to be where so many people get all their data, get their evaluations. And I thought it was interesting as well that Penn State could have elected to work out 500 classmen or potentially more, but they elected not to. So you're going to see some teams do that now because of rules that allow them to do that, which is new this year. But Penn State didn't work out any underclassmen, but Saquon Barkley, of course, was there watching like he has in years past, and I think next year we'll see a lot of cameras there if Mr.
Yeah.
Barkley's working out.
Yeah, exactly, because last year with Hackenberg working out, the place was packed last year. NFL Network was there. This coincided with Clemson's pro day, which included Deshaun Watson, so I think that helped keep numbers back a little bit. Fair enough?
Absolutely, I think so. I mean, and there were still a lot of representatives today. I mean, the Steelers were here. Todd Haley was there as well. The Eagles had three scouts there. I mean, it was just about every NFL team. I was keeping a running list in my notebook, and I'd say Steve had at least, you know, I'd say 20 or so clubs that were here today. So very well represented. And again, I mean, you never know just what they're looking for. You know, if they want to take a flyer on a guy, maybe even as a free agent, give him a shot on special teams, see what happens. We saw you know, Penn State's long snapper workout today. I mean, those are guys who in camp, you know, sometimes get shots because there just aren't that many snappers out there.
Right. It was exactly
It all just depends.
And, by the way, Reggie McKenzie, the GM of the Raiders, out there today as well. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Audrey. Appreciate the time. As I said, you always make the show better.
I appreciate it, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder, DK Sports. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Let's get you up to date on the NCAA basketball tournament. West Virginia leads Bucknell 52-43 at the under 16. So it's a 9-point West Virginia lead. Florida up at the half by one, 33-32 over East Tennessee State. Everything else is a final. Notre Dame beat Princeton 60-58. Virginia beat Wilmington 76-71. Butler beat Winthrop 76-64. Gonzaga beat South Dakota State 66-46. Minnesota with an early 7-3 lead on Middle Tennessee State. The only other afternoon game on the schedule is Vanderbilt and Northwestern. And one thing West Virginia has been unable to do, West Virginia has been unable to shake Bucknell. That's not good for West Virginia. The longer that the lower seed hangs in, the more confidence they get. And I've already watched this year West Virginia take a lead and hand it over at the end of the game. And I'm talking about a double-digit lead. Sometimes teams like this, teams like West Virginia that specialize in putting on pressure, when they get pressured, they don't like it. And Nathan Davis understands that real coaches in college basketball wear suits. It's a Huggy Bear joke. Huggs has on, I'm sure Huggs has on his warm up today. Oh, a lot of contact there. All right, they'll get two out of that. Bucknell with a chance to close the gap. And of course, it was great. We had Nathan Davis on the other day talking about all this. Yeah, he's done a great job in his 2 years there. Great job. And Kimball McKenzie, who's been a big plus for them, and he stepped in. It's got a chance to knock this again. Just keep it in the neighborhood, because then all the game pressure shifts. It's a 52-45 game now. It's down to seven. See, all the game pressure shifts to the favorite. That's what makes it fun. And then the arena gets into it. I mean, outside of fans from Morgantown, okay. Everybody else in the arena wants Bucknell to win.
It's more fun to see an event like that. You feel like you're part of a historic thing when if a 13 beats a 4.
Oh, but I mean, it's amazing though. I mean, I've done a lot of games in my career where suddenly the favorite is in trouble. You're amazed at how the arena rallies to the underdog. You're amazed that suddenly David has fans. Lots of fans that they never knew they had before.
They probably couldn't even tell you where Bucknell is, and yet...
No, there's a good chance they can't. In fact, I don't even know if they get the state right.
It was actually a question on Dan Patrick. I think it was either earlier today or it might have been earlier in the week, where they asked to have like a list of teams where they were from. And everybody knew Bucknell was in Pennsylvania. They just didn't know where.
No. Oh, okay.
It was surprising to me, too.
Somewhere in the central part of the state. I can't do that. You can't do live ball turnovers. Better to take a timeout.
It's almost as bad as missing a free throw.
Yep. Back to back. See, that's where the pressure got them. You can't let... You know what? You're better off setting up your defenses, throwing the ball away. Just better off. And the problem Bucknell had in that play is they had two guys standing there and did not move. You've got to move. Hey, you can't stand in a spot. There's a big juncture in the game here because they cut it down to seven. They had the ball with a chance to get to five or four. And
now it's back to nine.
Yep, now it's back to nine, and they've got an issue.
And they gave up a dunk, too, yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, more game pressure. It's just the game pressure gets you.
It's almost like a 13 seed has to play the perfect game, and they can't do stuff like that.
Well, no, that's not it's all. No, not really. No, I disagree with that. I think that just because it's a number next to you, it's stylistically how do you play against it. Now, for example, they're playing a team right now which presses its brains out. They want to press you and press you into oblivion. You have to avoid live ball turnovers. So it's not a question of playing perfect. It's a question of playing smart. Bucknell can be as athletic as they are. I mean, West Virginia doesn't have a non-Fouland on the team. Right? They don't have a guy like that. Stephen Brown's a pretty good point guard, pretty smart. Zach Thomas, good player, pretty smart. It's not like Bucknell's not putting any game pressure on them. They are, but they have to avoid live ball turnovers. I mean, believe me, you put Bucknell in a major conference, they're probably, say they're playing in the Big Ten, Bucknell's probably, a 7-11, 8-10 Big Ten team. It's probably where they are with the group that they have. It's grown up nicely for them.
When Coach Davis was on the other day, he mentioned something about turnover numbers. What was that number again that he'd be okay with? It sounded high, but he said he'd be okay with it.
Well, he doesn't want live ball turnovers. I mean, there's a big difference between live ball turnovers and a turnover.
Well, right now they're standing at 11.
Yeah, and I said if they had 12 or fewer, they'd win the game. But again, you need to have the number. The number needs to be the live ball turnover number is the key. That's the one you need to look at, the live ball turnover number. If it's dead ball turnovers and you can set up your defense, fine. Now, it helps me in a game like this where West Virginia delivers a lot of contact. Believe me, having a guy like Pat Driscoll work the game. Pat Driscoll is a Final Four referee. He's doing the game. I mean, that really helps. Really helps. And Bucknell, right now they're kind of hovering between 7 and 9 in this game. They can somehow get this thing down to 3 to 5 in that range. They put a lot of pressure on them. A lot of pressure. You also have to keep West Virginia from scoring in their half-court offense. And the reason is, when they score, it allows them to set up their press. I mean, that's one of the issues. I mean, they get to set up their press. So there are a lot of items that go into this. Is Doug still going insane?
Yes. I think they just drained a three. So I heard it out of the... I'm in the same room as the broadcast for the Bucknell game, and I'm hearing him go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're within six now.
Yeah. So now, see, they're putting game pressure on them now. And that's the important part. Again, West Virginia had a chance to open up 11, 12, 15. We're at the point now. Here it is. You got about 13 minutes to go. Does the game go closer to 10, or does it go down to 2 or 3? See, this is where you get to these junctures in games. Which team can put together back-to-back baskets, which either make it 10 or make it 3? Or make it 2? That's what it comes down to. All right, final half hour of the show. Bucknell is doing more than hanging in. They are creating problems. They're down 6 with under 13 to play. It's on Eagle 107.
And you can hear Doug Birdsong losing his mind.
Doug does a great job. Big fan. Final half hour of the show. We'll keep you up to date on everything here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the sales event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors' annual March New Truck Sale. SMC is the only Ford dealer in the area that has four city blocks of new Fords and has sold over 40,000 new trucks. Right now, pick from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $12,500. Sunbury Motors has new 2017 Ford F-150s starting as low as $23,919. There's over 30 2017 Ford Escapes, and they're priced from just $18,880. SMC has 2017 Ford Explorers starting under $30,000. And there's 45 of the all-new 2017 Ford Super Duty.
Motor Trend's Truck of the Year.
Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on select models. Central PA truck buyers, this is it. SMC's annual March New Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for over a century.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. So much college basketball going on. But I was listening to a show today. I'm not going to mention the host. But they're going on and on about the Lakers losing by 39 points. Now, this is a national show. The Lakers are irrelevant. Who cares if they lost by 39 points? They act like a contender lost by 39 points. They act like the Lakers beat a contender by 39 points. What a waste of airspace talking about the Lakers losing by 39. They lose by 39 all the time.
Not to mention the fact that it's mid-March. It doesn't matter. It's not like they got blown out in the playoffs or something, or like while they were.
Who cares? I don't like who cares talk radio. I just don't like it. Hey, I don't like who cares talk radio.
And that was today?
It was today.
With everything that's going on in sports right now, and we're talking about that's nonsense.
I mean, that's why you end up making the list. All right. West Virginia, a little bit of game pressure on them right now because Bucknell's providing it. They're bringing it. 62-57 is the score. And, you know, still, I mean, pressure gets to you in all sorts of ways. Now, for example, Stephen Brown just got an over and back, for example, in the game, which is, I want to make sure about this. Ball's deflected. He deflects it. That's a bad call. That is a bad call because West Virginia deflected the ball that sent it in that direction. So that's not the right call. Nathan Davis has all sorts of reasons to be shaking his head over that. That was not a good call on the over and back. The only positive about that was it was dead ball. Creates a dead ball. You get to set your defense. But they're putting a lot of game pressure on them, and I mean, this game's going to end up, I would say, first team to 75 wins. I think, you know, you got almost, what, under 11 to play. And it's not like Bucknell's not playing good defense. They're playing good defense in this game. No question about that. They've done some good things in this game. Some good things.
Folland and McKenzie have 17 each.
Well, Nana's played well. Folland had 13 in the first half, 4 in the second half. McKenzie's been great from the outside. And he hit the three-pointer that got them to within 3 at one point. Right now they're down 5. So, this is it. But I'm not surprised. I mean, even though Chalk has held so far in this tournament, where the higher seeds have all won, doesn't mean that the games haven't been close. Games have all been close. That's because college basketball's closed up so much. And college basketball's really closed over time. And it's, and a lot of it has to do with the transfers. Let's take a look at Providence last night. Now, Providence didn't win. But who are the two of the starters for Providence? Transfer from Indiana, transfer from Iowa. Okay. I mean, that's how teams are building. East Tennessee State is almost all transfers and JC kids. And that's the way the game is now. That's why I look seriously that Patrick Chambers here is going to take a long, hard look at a grad transfer that could come in, be a good outside shooter, be a part to what he's trying to build, while still freeing him up on the recruiting trail to keep going, where it'd be a short-term solution. That's the way the game is now, that you look for guys like that. And I've referenced a few times Akeem Springs of Minnesota and the kid from Wake Forest the other night. Both three-point shooters, both playing for Wisconsin-Milwaukee and transferred as grad transfers. And each one of them helped their teams to get to the NCAA tournament. That's what you're looking for. Now, if you missed it, both Isaiah Washington and Terrence Samuel have been granted their release, and they have expressed their desire to transfer. So they're going to transfer, which opens up two spots for Patrick Chambers in recruiting here in the late signing period, and opens, and obviously part of that is, does open up the possibility of the right grad transfer that can add to the balance of your roster. You're looking to add a grad transfer that fits the balance of your roster. What does your roster need? Your roster needs probably somebody in that 6'4 to 6'7 range, 6'3 to 6'7 range that can shoot from the outside consistently. That's what you're looking for. And one thing about a grad transfer, they have a track record. And that's what you're looking for, a track record. Now, the kid for West Virginia deliberately kicks the ball. I mean, he deliberately kicks it, and there's no call. Like, what? What are we watching here? So many times I see a kick called and it's not a kick. And then when I see an obvious one, they don't call. It's like, what are you guys watching? I mean, come on. There's so many times I've seen Kimball McKenzie's been great. Gee whiz.
Yeah, he just nailed a three.
Yeah. He's got 20 today.
I'll tell you what's going to kill West Virginia. What's going to kill their free throw? They're shooting 53.8% from free throw.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's. And the other part, too, is that this half, Bucknell's 4-6 in threes and West Virginia's 1-3. I mean, that makes a big difference. You know, that's where you get those extra points. But West Virginia's also doing a good job of pounding Bucknell on the glass. And that is an issue. So it's 65-60. So I got it down to a nickel. So now, again, you get to the under 12 to the under 8. What happens between the under 12 and the under 8? That really determines the game. Because if you go under 12 to under 8 and a team is leading by 9, like West Virginia was, do they make 9-15 when you get to the under 8? Or does 9 become 5 or less to the under 8? That tells you everything. Bucknell has made it now to within 16 seconds of the under 8. And guess what? They close the gap. See, that's why we talk all the time that, you know, everybody always focuses in on the end of the game, the end of the game. The end of the game is always set up by the under 12 to the under 8. Always. What kind of finish are you going to get? You're going to get a finish where you can just kind of coast your way home because you open the gap from the under 12 to the under 8. Or do you close the gap and put the game pressure on the favorite? And suddenly the final 7-plus minutes becomes a tractor pull for the favorite. That's what this, you know, that's why we talk about this all the time. I mean, try to give you a little different insight into the game that maybe other people don't really talk about. I mean, how often do you hear people talk about the under 12 to the under 8? Never. I mean, 2-for-1 possessions? Hardly ever. You know, throwing the ball out of bounds as a dead ball turnover is better being a live ball turnover. You ever hear people talk about that? Nope. Just don't.
It's usually more obvious things like free throws and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, West Virginia's gone to a 1-3-1 half-court defense here and extended it. That was not a good shot.
What I find interesting here is that West Virginia's got their best player, well, their best player today. I don't know if he is all year. Lamont West is on the bench currently.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got foul trouble or what. I mean,
he's sitting there with 15 points. He's 2-for-3 from three. I don't know why he's on the bench.
Well, does he have 4 fouls? I don't know what the foul situation is.
Yeah, it's not showing me. I'm trying to get updates here, but it's not showing me.
Yeah. Well, to the under 8 they go, and it's a 5-point game. Well, well, well. See, that's what you're talking about when you get into these situations. So you try to give everybody an idea as to what they're watching out there. And what they did from the under 12 to the under 8 now set up a potentially great finish. And I like it. So. All right. Great to have you with us. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Oh, last year, went to New York. Dick Girardi, Jeff Tarman, and I went to dinner with the legendary race caller, Dave Johnson, whose signature was, and down the stretch they come. Dave, by the way, is an awesome guy. We had, I don't know what, 3 hours of great conversation in New York that night. And when I see West Virginia and Bucknell in a 5-point game with under 7 to play, I just want to say, and down the stretch they come, and pay tribute to Dave when I say it. 15-19 at the free throw line for Bucknell. West Virginia, I think you're absolutely right. That's been an Achilles for West Virginia. Have not shot the ball well at the line.
No, absolutely not. They're hovering around 53%. That's awful. And I've seen it a million times in the NCAA tournament. That's what makes Duke so frustrating, because they free throw the ball like lights out every time, and that's how they win. I've seen them win so many times like that.
Well, most teams against Duke start the game with 16 fouls. Okay, so really, it's easier to get there.
Are you saying it's rigged, Steve? Is that what you're saying? You think Krzyzewski's in somebody's pocket?
But here's the key. Why is West Virginia winning? Because they have just crushed Bucknell in the offensive glass. I mean, they have crushed Bucknell in the offensive glass. I mean, they have a 19-4 advantage on second chance points.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a big number.
I mean, and it's sometimes your best offense is the missed shot. Kansas State, I think, may find out tomorrow night when they play Cincinnati. There are moments where for Cincinnati, their best offense is the missed shot, because they just go out and just attack the offensive glass.
Yeah, that's why a guy like Dennis Rodman made so much money in his career. He couldn't shoot the ball for nothing, but 22 rebounds a game, that's a weapon.
No question. Okay, that's all right, so let's see how the end of this plays out. Look, you're a Bucknell fan. You got to be really proud about what you're watching today. I mean, really, you got to be really proud about what you're watching today. You're going toe-to-toe with one of the best of the Big 12. And guess what? No blink. I'm telling you, the crowd's with him. Crowd is with the, I tell you, Bucknell's got the crowd. And it kind of reminds me of that gladiator movement. Moment.
Yes, they fell in love with the Spaniard.
Well, win the crowd. Win the crowd.
Yep. Totally.
Well, they won the crowd. Now win the game. Okay? Now win the game. Let's try and do that. Yeah. Again, free throw line, invaluable for Bucknell in this game. Invaluable. Down six in this game now. With 5 minutes to play. This is not where West Virginia wanted to be. West Virginia has not had what you would call some brilliant closings this year in tight games. It's one of the issues that you'll see. You know, I talked about this, and people didn't, I don't think quite understand. I think there is an assumption that when you have great all-time coaches, come on, Kenzie's got some guts. When you have some great all-time coaches, that they win all the close games. When in reality is that their record's about the same as everybody else in close games. Usually right around 500. You know, some years better than others. Some years you're like 5-2 in games decided by 5 or less, and other years you're 2-5. Okay? And people, I don't think, get that or understand that. Well, look, they have all those wins. Of course they do. Most of their wins are by double digits. They just have better talent. Is it better players? They don't have a lot of... they don't usually have a lot of close games. So that's why you look at West Virginia like, oh, well, close game. They got all that talent, blah, blah, blah. No, they're not in enough close games to, you know, to get a gauge on. My goodness, I mean, I keep going back to the Kansas game. I know it was at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, but that was one of the worst down-the-stretch performances I've seen any team ever have in my life. And Kimball McKenzie, in your life, have you ever seen a guy shoot like this in the NCAA tournament?
He just dropped another three. He's 5-for-7 from three right now.
It's unbelievable.
He's pulling a Stephon Curry.
Unreal. He's got 23 now. He's 5-for-7 in threes. That's why he drove the baseline before. I'm sitting back saying, why? 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 What are you doing? Just shoot it. Can West Virginia answer? Yes, they can. So it's 76-68. This is where the sands of time become a little bit of an issue. You got under four to play now. You got to get this thing down where it's a 3 or 4 point game. With about 2 minutes to play.
Yeah, two possessions.
Where now it becomes a two-possession game or less. And if you can get it to one possession, even better. Now you really put the game pressure on them. And for West Virginia, and trying to make it a double-digit game again. And that's where they are right now. Clock's their ally. And another Bucknell foul. Again, they're just getting crushed in the glass. They are getting just destroyed on the glass right now. That's a big issue in this game. If they lose the game, it will not be because of live ball turnovers. It'll be because of offensive rebounding by West Virginia.
I mean, which is fair. I mean, that's kind of West Virginia's game, more or less.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying, but I mean, that, you know, if you're looking for a reason, that's going to be the reason.
It's not lack of effort. I mean, Bucknell's definitely played a great game.
Penn State Wrestling 8-0 today in the opening round of the NCAA Wrestling Championship. They actually lead by a point after round one. Round two coming up tonight. The emotional fulcrum for this was Jimmy Gulabon's technical fall at 141. Because you just don't know what you're going to get from the guy. And all of a sudden, he gives you a performance like that. It lifted the entire lineup today. Terrence Samuel, Isaiah Washington, granted their release. They will now transfer. Samuel will graduate in May. He'll be eligible to play next year. Washington will graduate in August. He'll be eligible to play next year. Now, Patrick Chambers also has some flexibility with his roster in the offseason as to how he wants to play it and whether or not he can maybe find a grad transfer that can stretch the floor for him. I think that would help. I think a grad, the reason I keep bringing up the grad transfer part is the grad transfer gives you a solution for a season while still opening up long-range possibilities in recruiting. Because they're only going to have that roster spot for a year. So, so here we are, Bucknell and West Virginia. Give them all the credit in the world. They played really, really well. And not only that, Charles Barkley just on commercials getting more airtime than LeVar Ball. All right.
That's terrible.
Sorry. If you gave me a chance to spend 5 hours with Charles Barkley or 60 seconds with LeVar Ball, I would take 5 hours with Charles Barkley any day of the week.
Without question.
I have no interest in what LeVar Ball thinks or has to say. Just like to his credit, he has no interest in what I think or what I say. That makes us even. Tomorrow, back with more. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News.